Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari, Gopi Janabala Gopi Janaballabha Giribharadaudhi Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamunatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyabihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyabihari Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Padadhadi Gopi Janaballabha Giri Padadhadi Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamunatira Vanachari Yamunatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyabihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatikacharya Author of Teda Sitashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturam ki jai, Jagadasami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Srimati Tulasidevi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premananda. Hari Hari Bol, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Dejatarani So Om Ganatumadanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today we're continuing with one of my favorite chapters that deals a lot about demons. And I love demons because they are so interesting. So that's, of course, chapter 16. Which is entitled The Divine and Demoniac Natures. So we're going to continue with text 6 in chapter 16. And remember, after this, we only have two chapters left to go. And then we go on to the Nectar of Devotion for a thorough study of the Nectar of Devotion. So let's start. Hold on a second. Text 6. Vaubhuta sargalokesmin daiva suraivacha daivo vistadasha prokta asuram partame shridhu. Two. Bhutasargal, created living beings located in the world as men in this. Daivaha, godly, asura, demoniac, eva, certainly, cha, and Daivaha, the divine. Vistarashaha, at great length, Prokta said, asuram, the demoniac. Partha, son of Pritha, may from me, Shrinu, just hear. So translation, O son of Pritha, in this world there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other demoniac. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities. Now hear from me of the demoniac. And again, I have to emphasize that when we're talking about divine beings or demoniac beings, we're not really talking about the genes or what someone is born with, although that may be a factor. We're talking about the qualities that someone is exhibiting at present. And those qualities that one is exhibiting at present come from one's association with the modes of nature. And as you know, one of my favorite verses is Akarnam Guna Sangasya Sadasa Janma Jonishu, that we exhibit certain qualities, have a certain mentality due to association with certain modes of nature which cover our consciousness. So even if you were born with demoniac qualities, like Aranyakashipu happened to be your father, but if you associate it with godly people, you will become godly. Simple. So we're going to hear about the demoniac qualities, and if you identify or see any of these qualities in yourself, watch out. You better do something about it. Chant Hare Krishna very enthusiastically. Lord Krishna, having assured Arjuna that he was born with the divine qualities, is now describing the demoniac way. The conditioned living entities are divided into two classes in this world. Those who are born with divine qualities follow a regulated life. That is to say, they abide by the injunctions in the scriptures and by the authorities. One should perform duties in the light of authoritative scripture. Actually, there's another verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Yakshastra vidir utruja vartate kamakarta. That one who rejects the shastra, or the injunction of the shastra, na sukham na param gatim, cannot be happy, nor can they reach the supreme destination. So this mentality that is following shastra is called divine. One who does not follow the regulated principles that they are laid out in the scriptures and who acts according to his whims is called demoniac or surika. Another caution for you all. If you do find someone who is not following these particular injunctions in the scriptures, please don't call him or her demoniac or asuric. We call the activity demoniac or asuric. Even as in the Bible it's stated, don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. In other words, hate the sin, not the sinner. So we don't want to be putting these labels on people. Oh, he is a demon. Just like as devotees, we have so many interesting labels. Karmi, meat eater, malacha, rakshasa, dog, hog, camel, ass, Buddha. So don't put those labels on people, please. Even though some of these designations are in scriptures, in the Vedic literatures, that is. Please don't use them. We should see everybody as a devotee of Krishna. It's just because of ignorance, they are acting improperly. That's all. Don't think that people are demons. People are suffering. You understand? They're suffering. It's like people in a burning house don't think that they are fire. Think that they're burning. Yes, and you have to save them. There is no other criterion but obedience to the regulative principles of scriptures. It is mentioned in Vedic literature. In other words, it's not a sentimental thing. That, oh, I feel so bad about something or someone. Let me feed this poor brother of mine meat. So it has to be an obedience to the regulated principles of scriptures. It is mentioned in the Vedic literature that both the demigods and the demons are born of the Prajapati. That means the Lord who gives birth, okay? That means we're all Krishna's sons and daughters. Actually, Prabhupada said that Krishna has a lot more than one son. Sometimes the people in different religions think that God only has one son. Well, he's the good son. But if God can only have one son, then what are people doing in this world having many sons? They're doing a better job than God. So if one person can have many sons, God can have infinite number of sons. Like in Dwarka, Krishna has 16,108 wives, and each wife has 10 sons. It's a lot of sons. There's some daughters, too. Don't worry about that. The only difference is one class obeys the Vedic injunctions and the other does not. Now, another thing about people who act demoniacally, remember I'm talking about people who act demoniacally, is they pick and choose which Vedic injunctions sometimes that they follow and which ones they don't follow. For example, my good friend Ravana, he was very Vedic in one sense. He would receive guests nicely, worship the Brahmanas. On the other hand, he ate people, which isn't too Vedic. He's a Rakshasa, you know. So when a Rakshasa sits down to dinner, when they ask for a leg, or let's see, a gizzard, or a liver, they're talking about a human leg, a human gizzard, a human liver. So he followed certain Vedic injunctions, you know, that he was really Vedic, a Vedic demon. So don't be confused when you see someone acting Vedically, chanting so many mantras that you think, oh, he must be divine. He has to follow the purpose of the Vedas. What is the purpose of the Vedas according to the 15th chapter, text 15 of the Gita? Nobody knows. Is to know Krishna and serve Krishna. So let's... we have to understand these things using our intelligence. Now, here are some of the qualities of a demon, or someone who acts demoniacally. Pravatim cha, nivatim cha. There's another famous verse. Janana vidura sura, nashocham napi cha charo, nasachum teshu vijite. Pravatim, acting properly. Cha, also. Nivatim, not acting improperly. Cha and jana, persons. Na, never. Vidhu, no. Asura, a demoniac quality, na, never. Shocham, cleanliness, na, nor. Api, also. Cha, and acharaha, behavior, na, never. Sacham, true, teshu, and then vijite, there is. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done. In other words, they're not aware of the actual proper activity according to time, place, and circumstance. They may do things Vedically, but they don't understand what the Vedas prescribe according to time, place, and circumstance, what is not to be done. And neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. So cleanliness means not just being like Lady Macbeth. I don't know if any of you read Shakespeare. She had, she was obsessive compulsive. She wanted to clean. Of course, she committed a murder, obviously. So she was feeling real guilty. So she was cleaning her hands, and her hands were extremely clean. Sometimes we find people like that, and they clean their hands so much that they wear the skin down and they have skin diseases. That's not really what we're referring to, although it's part of cleanliness. There's an internal cleanliness as well as an external cleanliness. Internal cleanliness is to think of Krishna and think of pious things. So proper behavior is actually elaborated on in the Vedic literatures. Nor truth. In other words, they lie. Actually, the principle of truthfulness is the last principle remaining in this Kali Yuga. The other principles, they are gone. But the cleanliness, mercifulness, and austerity, they're finished. Truthfulness, little bit remaining in Kali Yuga, but lying propaganda everywhere nowadays. In every civilized human society, there is some set of scriptural rules and regulations which is followed from the beginning, especially among the Aryans, those who adopt the Vedic civilization, who are known as the most advanced civilized people. Those who do not follow the scriptural injunctions are supposed to be demons. Let's see, they act demoniacally. Therefore, it is stated here that demons do not know the scriptural rules, nor do they have any inclination to follow them. Most of them do not know them, and even if some of them know, they have not the tendency to follow them. They have no faith, nor are they willing to act in terms of the Vedic injunctions. The demons are not clean, either externally or internally. We mentioned that. One should always be careful to keep his body clean by bathing, brushing teeth, shaving, changing clothes, etc. Obviously, Prabhupada would often say, one should bathe at least twice or three times a day. Clean your hands before eating, clean your hands after eating. And the standard was in Vedic times to clean your feet and the place where you ate. Of course, you were sitting down on the ground at that particular point. So many injunctions about cleaning. As far as internal cleanliness is concerned, one should always remember the holy names of God and chant, what? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. The demons neither like nor follow all these rules for external and internal cleanliness. As for behavior, there are many rules and regulations guiding human behavior, such as the Manu Sanghita, which is the law of the human race, even up to today. Those who are Hindu follow the Manu Sanghita. Laws of inheritance and other legalities are derived from this book. Now in the Manu Sanghita, it is clearly stated that a woman should not be given freedom. This does not mean the women are becoming slaves, but they are like children. Children are not to be given freedom. So I'm going to have to explain all this. That doesn't mean that they are kept as slaves. In other words, women should be protected. That's exactly what Prabhupada said. Not that someone is just like tied up and not allowed to do. But they're protected. What are they protected against? Unscrupulous men. Because in Kali Yuga, the men, not all men, are like dogs. And they will take any advantage. Okay, let me give you a political... hate to be political again. A modern day example, okay. There was one person who was very high in the political sphere, and he was talking to, I just heard this in the news today, he was talking to his lawyer, and his lawyer's daughter came up, the daughter was about 14 years old, and the person who's, you know, perhaps one of the highest, lowest, whatever, person, in America at this point, Lois perhaps, he spoke obscenely about this little girl. And the lawyer said to him, that's my daughter. And he didn't even feel embarrassed about it. You know, because it's just like trying to exploit. The men are just like trying to exploit the women. It's just a disgusting thing. Because in the Vedic system, this is really what Prabhupada is meaning here. In the Vedic system, the women are meant to be given protection, and usually protection from unscrupulous men. And the demons have now neglected such injunction and think that women should be given as much freedom as men. However, this has not improved the social condition of the world. Actually, women should be given protection at every stage of life. That's probably talking about that. She should be given protection by the father in her younger days, by the husband in her youth, by the grown-up sons in her old age. This is the proper social behavior according to the Manu Samhita. But modern education has artificially devised a puffed-up concept of womanly life, and therefore marriage is practically now an imagination in human society. Nor is the moral condition of women very good. Oh, I can mention, nor is the moral condition of men very good now. The demons, therefore, do not accept any instruction which is good for society, and because they do not follow the experience of great sages and the rules and regulations laid down by the sages, the social condition of the demoniac people is very miserable. I just have to reiterate, this is to protect women against the men. Women are not at fault. The fault is the men who are unscrupulous. So, actually, one thing I want to say, actually I was doing a little studying today about where chauvinism came into, or how did it come into India. I was actually studying this. And I came to the conclusion from my studies that it came to India through the Abrahamic religions. Now that may be a strange word for you. Abrahamic religion? What's an Abrahamic religion? Abrahamic religion means the Jewish people, the Christians, Catholics, whatever, you know, so many branches of Christianity, and also the Islamic tradition. Because there's extreme chauvinism in these particular cultures, so they influence India to a large extent. In the old days, ladies did have equal rights, and of course, as mentioned here, the ladies were protected, but they had equal rights and there wasn't any discrimination against them. And even people who had unusual proclivities in that regard were not denied a place in society. And I'm not going to unpack what I mean by unusual proclivities. So this whole point of condemning people or discriminating against people because of their birth came into being because of the influence of other cultures. Because as we see in the Bhagavad Gita, or read in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarna Mayashastam, Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that someone is understood according to the qualities of work and work that they exhibit, not according to their birth, you know, whether they're male or female or whatever they are. We ascertain someone according to the qualities that they exhibit. That's the important thing. All right, next verse. Asacham apratishtam te jagadaruvanishvaram Aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. Asacham, unreal, apratishtam, without foundation, te, they, jagat, the cosmic manifestation, ahu, say, anishvaram, with no controller, aparaspara, without cause, sambhutam, arisen, kimanyat, there is no other cause, kama ahaitukam. Kama haitukam, not ahaitukam. Sometimes it's rolled into one. Kama haitukam. It is due to lust only. They say that this world is unreal with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Of course, this in essence is the evolutionary theory. Everything is happening by chance, combination of the genes between the male and the female, or sometimes some living entities are asexual in their reproduction, like amoebas. So somehow or other, by this reproduction process and mutations that occur in the reproduction process, then things developed automatically, or maybe not automatically, but just by laws of chance, whatever laws of chance mean. So this, of course, is extremely illogical, and in my scientific presentations, I've done a thorough analysis showing that it is literally impossible for one species to evolve into another species through mutations of the genome. And I use mathematics to prove that. And if any of you are interested, one day I'll do that presentation online. I think it's probably available on Facebook in one of my multifarious videos that I've done. In other words, this is demoniac. And not only is it demoniac, it takes more faith to believe in this than it does to believe in God. I'll give you an example. I have a computer here. Okay, computer. If I say this computer came about by chance, or at least not even by chance, I threw all these electronic gizmos in the air, and somehow or other I threw it enough times in the air, and all of a sudden, one time after a billion trillion times, it became a computer. You would say, that's pretty stupid. And I would say, you should have faith in that. Well, having faith in that is pretty stupid, because it's not going to happen. But having faith that something infinitely more complex, such as the planets, and what to speak of the structure of the living entities, the structure of the cells, the different mechanisms in the cells, and we've talked about this many, many, many times, came about by chance. Takes a lot of faith to believe in that. To believe that there was a big chunk that exploded in the beginning, and then all the universes and time became manifest without anybody or any person planning it out, takes a lot of faith. It takes less faith to believe in God, the Creator. It takes less faith to believe that someone built my computer. I mean, there's the evidence. The evidence is someone built it. The keys are in the right place. The screen is in the right place, and it works most of the time, hopefully. So this is demoniac. So there's a lot of information about this, and anyone who's interested, sometime I can actually do another presentation that will blow you away. The demoniac conclude that the world is phantasmagoria. There's no cause and effect, no controller, no purpose. Everything is unreal. Sounds like the Beatles song, nothing is real, strawberry fields forever. They say that this cosmic manifestation arises due to the chance material actions and reactions. They do not think, that's crazy. They do not think that the world was created by God for a certain purpose. In other words, the world has no purpose according to them. They have their own theory that the world has come about in its own way and that there is no reason to believe that there is a God behind it. For them, there's no difference between spirit and matter, and they do not accept the supreme spirit. Everything is matter only, and the whole cosmos is supposed to be a mass of ignorance. In other words, we have consciousness, right? And they say our consciousness is just an illusion. We're actually not conscious. Yeah, sure. And they're saying that ultimately they can manifest the same type of consciousness in a computer. And that, of course, is called artificial intelligence, the study of artificial intelligence, especially when they develop quantum computers. They will not be able to have any computer conscious. They can emulate consciousness. And we've demonstrated that before with my Google Home device, which I'm not going to do for you right now. Hopefully it won't talk while I'm speaking. According to them, everything is void, and whatever manifestation exists is due to our ignorance and perception. They take it for granted that all manifestation of diversity is a display of ignorance. In other words, if you see differences in this world or variety, just ignorance. Just as in a dream, we may create so many things which actually have no existence, but when we awake, we shall see that everything is simply a dream. But how can you wake up? Then that means you're waking up as a dream, too. Factually, it doesn't even make sense. Factually, although the demons say that life is a dream, they are very expert in enjoying this dream. And so instead of acquiring knowledge, they become more and more implicated in their dreamland. They conclude that as a child is simply the result of sexual intercourse between man and woman, this world is born without any soul. For them, it is only a combination of matter that has produced the living entities, and there is no question of the existence of a soul, of the soul. As many living creatures come out from perspiration from a dead body without any cause, the whole living world has come out of the material combinations of the cosmic manifestation. First of all, the living entities that come out from perspiration and from a dead body were not created by the perspiration, but the perspiration is a medium by which previously implanted living entities can grow. That's all. Like bacteria. You know, if someone has BO. Anyway, therefore, material nature is the cause of this manifestation, and there is no other cause. They do not believe in the words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Chada Chadam. Under my direction, the whole material world is moving. In other words, among the demons, there is no perfect knowledge of the creation of the world. Every one of them has some particular theory of his own. According to them, one interpretation of the scriptures is as good as another, for they do not believe in a standard understanding of the scriptural injunctions. And another result of believing like that is that there are no absolutes in this world, or really there's no reason for acting in a particular way or being nice to other people because, you know, people's consciousness is just an illusion. So there's no reason to be ethical, moral, to protect others. There's no reason other than it's just wired into our genes to be like that. Very nonsense philosophy. Next verse. Etam drishtim avastabhya nashtatmano pahudayaha bhavantu grakarmanakshayaya jagato hitaha. Etam this drishtim vision avastabhya accepting nashta having lost atmanaha themselves apabhudayaha the less intelligent prabhavanti flourish ugrakarmanaha engage in painful activities kshayaya for destruction jagataha of the world Hitoha, unbeneficial. Following such conclusions, the demoniac who are lost to themselves and have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Sounds like the atom bomb here. The demoniac are engaged in activities that will lead the world to destruction. The Lord states here that they are less intelligent, but the materialists who have no concept of God think that they are advancing. But according to Bhagavad Gita, they are unintelligent, and devoid of all sense. They try to enjoy this material world to the utmost limit and therefore are always engaged in inventing something for sense gratification. Such materialistic inventions are considered to be advancement of human civilization, but the result is that people grow more and more violent and more cruel, cruel to animals and cruel to other human beings. Aren't we seeing that? They have no idea how to behave toward one another. Animal killing is very prominent amongst demoniac people. Such people are considered the enemies of the world because ultimately they will invent or create something which will bring destruction to all. Indirectly, this verse anticipates the invention of nuclear weapons, of which the whole world is today very proud. At any moment, war may take place, and these atomic weapons may create havoc. Such things are created solely for the destruction of the world, and this is indicated here. Due to godlessness, such weapons are invented in human society, and they are not meant for the peace and prosperity of the world. And there are enough atomic weapons all over the world to destroy every single living entity in the world several times over. So, chant Hare Krishna seriously, because anything can happen. You think this coronavirus is bad. All it takes is one idiot with his finger on the button to push it, and then there will be retribution from other countries and finished. We are on the brink of destruction. Actually, there was this song in the 1960s. I'm remembering all these 1960s songs. Don't you believe we're on the brink of destruction? And we are. I mean, not only in that particular way, but also on an individual basis. We could leave our bodies at any moment. But while we are in these bodies, we should be serving Krishna. And don't take shelter of your horoscope saying, you know, you're going to die a particular time. You know, one devotee told me a few days ago, she said, one more year and I'm history. And they said, no, you are not. Don't believe what you're... And actually, Prabhupada said it's all bogus anyway. Prabhupada said the last bona fide astrologer was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Prabhupada would get upset when people took shelter of astrology. Maybe to arrange marriages, you know, maybe you find out if someone is a demoniac and someone is good. Actually, it's a good combination of demon and devotee. Not really. Kamam ashritya dushpuram dambamana madanvitaha mohad grahit vasad grahan avartante shuchi vartaha kamam lust ashrita, taking shelter of dushpuram, insatiable damba of pride, mana, and false prestige. Mada anvitaha, absorbed in the conceit. Mohat, by illusion. Grahitvat, taking. Asat, non-permanent. Grahan, things. Pravartante, they flourish. Ashuchi, to the unclean. Vrataha, avowed. Taking shelter of insatiable lust. Insatiable means never satisfied. Absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige. The demoniac, thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work, attracted by the impermanent. Sounds exciting, like some horror movie. The demoniac mentality is described here. The demons have no satiation for their lust. That means there's no end to it. They would go, like I mentioned about that political person who is always trading his wife in when she gets a little old. You know, it's this demoniac. They will go on increasing and increasing their insatiable desires for material enjoyment.
I found this on the web.
Hare Krishna. That's my phone, my blissful phone. Although they are always full of anxieties on account of accepting non-permanent things, they still continue to engage in such activities out of illusion. They have no knowledge and cannot tell that they are heading in the wrong way. Accepting non-permanent things, such as demoniac persons, people, create their own god, create their own hymns, and chant accordingly. You know, we're talking about some of the songs nowadays. The result is they become more and more attracted to two things, sex enjoyment and accumulation of material wealth. The word ashuchi brataha, unclean vows, is very significant in this connection. Such demoniac people are only attracted by wine, women, gambling, and meat eating. Those are their ashuchi, unclean habits. Induced by pride and false prestige, they create some principles of religion which are not approved by the Vedic injunctions. Although such demoniac people are most abominable in the world, by artificial means the world creates a false honor for them. Although they are gliding toward hell, they consider themselves very much advanced. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And here's what they get. Texts 11 to 12. Chintam aparimeyam cha paryantam upashuta kamo pavoga parama etavaditi nischitaha ashapasha shatarvada kamakroda parayanaha ihante kamabhogartam Anya yenar the shan chayan, chintam, fears and anxieties, apari meyam, measurable, cha, and pralaya antam, unto the point of death. Paramaha, the highest goal of life, etavat, thus, iti, in this way, nishchitaha, having ascertained asha pasha, entanglements in a network of hope, shatahai, by hundreds, vadaha, being bound, kama, of lust, krodha, and anger, Parayanaha, always situated in the mentality, ihante, they desire, kama, lust, boga, sense enjoyment, artam, for the purpose of anyayana, illegally, artha, wealth, sanchayan, accumulation. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable. Bound by a network of hundreds and thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Of course, we can talk about the Epicurean philosophy. What is that? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die. Well, you may die, sorry, not will die. Or the Indian version of that is Charvaka Muni's philosophy, which is beg, borrow, or steal. Get yourself some ghee. At least it's a pious way of being a demon. But still, the concept is exactly the same, that as described here, the demoniac accept that the enjoyment of the senses is the ultimate goal of life, and this concept they maintain until death. They do not believe in life after death, and they do not believe that one takes on different types of bodies according to one's karma or activities in this world. Their plans for life are never finished, and they go on preparing plan after plan, all of which are never finished. We have personal experience of a person of such demoniac mentality who, even at the point of death, was requesting the physician to prolong his life for 4 years more because his plans were not yet complete. Such foolish people do not know that a physician cannot prolong life even for a moment. When the notice is there, there is no consideration of the man's desire. The laws of nature do not allow a second beyond what one is destined to enjoy. Of course, if one is Krishna conscious, then one can overcome, I wouldn't say overcome the laws of nature, but overcome what happened to be one's karma before. Otherwise, you know, it's built in. You're going to die at a certain point. But when there's the Krishna factor, when you're a devotee, then you can live a lot longer than what your horoscope says. Or you can live a lot shorter. The demoniac person, Prabhupada said, again, talking about horoscopes, every time you chant and you dance and you clap your hands, all the lines on your hands change. So if you're feeling anxiety about your horoscope, maybe you haven't been to any kirtans lately. And you're not chanting and dancing. And therefore, you're not changing the lines on your hand. You better hit the road and go on to kirtan. The demoniac person who has no faith in God or the supersoul within himself performs all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. He does not know that there is a witness sitting within his heart. That's Krishna. The supersoul is observing the activities of the individual soul. As it is stated in the Upanishads, there are two birds sitting in one tree. One is acting and enjoying or suffering the fruits of the branches, and the other is witnessing. But one who is demoniac has no knowledge of Vedic scripture, nor has he any faith. Therefore, he feels free to do anything for sense enjoyment, regardless of the consequences. Like nowadays, of course, the police, they're wearing these cameras on them all the time. And actually, practically every security man wears a camera on him just so people can see, you know, what he did, whether he did something wrong. But somehow or other, many of them, not many, but some of the police just lose control of their senses and do something that's really bad, not being aware that the camera is watching them, and it may go on the news that night or next week. So in the same way, we are not aware, we forget that Krishna is watching us. Of course, it's not going to put it on the news, but Krishna will not send the video file to YouTube. But so Krishna is watching us at every step. It's like we have a little camera there. Not only the camera is taking pictures of what we do, but what we think. You know, it's just the 360 of everything around us. So if we think like that, we will not do anything demoniac, hopefully. Okay, moving ahead, text 13-15. Idam adya maya labdham imam prapshe manoritam idam astiram api me bhavishyati punardhanam aso maya hata shatrur anishe chaparam api ishwaraham aham bhogi siroham valavan sukhi atadyo bijan. Ado bijana vanasme konyosti sadashomaya yakshe dasyami modisha itya jnana vimokhitaha. Idam this aja today maya by me labdham gained imam this prapshe I shall gain mana ritam according to my desires. Idam this asti there is. Idam, this. Api also, may mine, bhavishyati, it will increase in the future. Punaha, again. Dhanam, wealth, sao, that, maya, by me. Ataha has been killed, Shatru enemy. Anishe, I shall kill, Cha. Also, Aparan, others, Api, certainly Ishvaraha, the Lord, Aham, I am. Aham, I am. Bogi, the enjoyer. Siddaha, perfect. Aham, I am. Balavan, powerful. Suki, happy. Adyaha, wealthy. Abhijanavan, surrounded by aristocratic relatives. Asmi, I am. Kahu, Anyaha, other. Asti, there is. Sadrashaha, like. Maya, me. Yakshe, I shall sacrifice. Dashyami, I shall give charity. Modishe, I shall rejoice. Sati, thus. Jnana, by ignorance, vimohitaha. Deluded, the demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my scheme. So much is mine now, and will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect. I am powerful and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifice. I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. No purport to that text. That's interesting. Maybe one more text we'll read. Anaika chitta vibranta mohajala samavitaha prasakta kamavogeshu patanti narakeshu chau. Anaika, numerous chitta by anxieties, vibrantaha, perplexed, moha, of illusions, jala, by a network, samavritaha, surrounded, prasaktaha, attached, kamavogeshu, to sense gratification, patanti, they glide down, naraka, into hell, ashu chau, unclean. Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down to hell. So Prabhupada explains, the demoniac man knows no limit to his desire to acquire money that is unlimited. He thinks only of how much assessment he has just now, and he schemes to engage that stock of wealth further and further. For that reason, he does not hesitate to act in any sinful way, and so deals in the black market for illegal gratification. That means money that is not accounted for by the government. He is enamored by the possessions he already has, such as land, family, house, and bank balance, and he's always planning to improve them. He believes in his own strength, and he does not know that whatever he is gaining is due to his past good deeds. He is given an opportunity to accumulate such things, but he has no conception of past causes. He simply thinks that his massive wealth is due to his own endeavor. A demoniac person believes in the strength of his personal work, not in the law of karma. According to the law of karma, man takes his birth in a high family, becomes rich or very well educated or very beautiful because of good work in the past. The demoniac thinks that all these things are accidental and due to the strength of one's personal ability. They do not sense any arrangement behind all the varieties of people, beauty, and education. Anyone who comes into competition with such a demoniac man is his enemy. There are many demoniac people, and each is enemy to the others. This enmity becomes more and more deep between persons, then between families, then between societies, and alas, between nations. Therefore, there is constant strife, war, and enmity all over the world. Each demoniac person thinks that he can live at the sacrifice of all others. Generally, a demoniac person thinks of himself as the supreme God, and the demoniac preacher tells his followers, why are you seeking God elsewhere? You are all yourselves God. Whatever you like, you can do. Don't believe in God. Throw away God. God is dead. These are a demoniac's preaching. Although the demoniac person sees others equally rich and influential, or even more so. He thinks that no one is richer than he and that no one is more influential than he. As far as promotion to the higher planetary system is concerned, he does not believe in performing yajnas or sacrifices. Demons think that they will manufacture their own process of yajna and prepare some machine by which they will be able to reach any higher planet. The best example of such a demoniac man was Ravana. He offered a program to the people by which he could prepare a staircase so that anyone could reach the heavenly planets without performing sacrifices. Such as are prescribed in the Vedas. Similarly, in the present age, such demoniac men are striving to reach the higher planetary system by mechanical arrangements. These are examples of bewilderment. The result is that, without their knowledge, they are gliding toward hell. Here the Sanskrit word mohajala is very significant. Jala means net, like a fish caught in a net. They have no way to come out. Just one thing about Ravana's staircase to the heavenly planets. If you have read your Bible, you will remember the Tower of Babel. It's an interesting story. Perhaps an allegorical story, or perhaps some relationship with Ravana's staircase, that they were erecting this big, big tower to reach the heavenly planets, like a staircase to reach the heavenly planets. And so what happened, as they were building it more and more and more, the story of the Bible goes that they started speaking different languages, couldn't communicate with each other, and the whole project fell apart. Now, taking that as an allegorical story, of course, Ravana's staircase was not simply allegorical. It was something like that. But taking it as allegorical, one can understand that when you try to challenge God, then what you're simply doing is creating divisions, like Prabhupada talks about here. One man against another man, and fighting and destruction and all those other things like that occur when you forget the center. What is that statement? Things fall apart where the center will not hold. What does that mean? If you have no center, and the center, of course, is G-O-D, God, so everything starts to fall apart. So that makes sense. Okay, so now we'll take questions. We covered a lot today about demons and not so much about divine people, but mainly about demons. Okay. But demons are quite interesting. All right, let me let you ask questions. Hold on a second. All right. Who wants to ask the first question? Make sure. Uh-oh, Sumukh.
Please, Assam Mahambala versus Guru Maharaj.
Yeah, what's the question?
The question is about demons. In the paper, you read that demons love to kill animals. So, so my understanding is that those who eat animals are demon?
No. Demonic? Didn't I cover that? That's a demoniac activity if one kills animals for one's sense gratification. It's not that we should go around. I mean, you're working right now for FEA. It's not you should turn around to your co-workers and say that you are all demons, Prabhus. Or not Prabhus. You really don't want to get in that consciousness. I mean, we have to understand the context of these descriptions, that people have these demoniac tendencies. And also, we also have demoniac tendencies. You should see like that. You should point inside. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you point one finger at someone, 10 fingers or 9 fingers come back and point towards you. So look at these different qualities and say, I mean, think about the qualities that you, I'm not criticizing you, but I'm just saying we should think about this. Like if you drive by, let's see, you have KFC there in Fiji?
No more.
Yeah,
McDonald's.
Let's say you drive by a restaurant and you think, oh, I really like to eat a chicken. The chicken eating is very prominent there. That's a demoniac thought. So I think, oh, there's a demon in my heart. Mm-hmm. Or if you drive by, I mean, just use an example. If you drive by and you see a pretty girl on the street and you think, boy, I'd really like to possess her. Then you just think, oh my God, there's a demon there. Mm-hmm. Or if one of the ladies drives by, muscular man, I don't have any muscles. Anyway, he drives by a muscular man. He's like, I'd really like to possess him. It's demon. So we should point to ourselves and our own hearts rather than to others.
Mm.
Right? I mean, if you feel this impulse is to enjoy something, to exploit someone, whether it's an animal, whether it's a person, whether it's Krishna's material energy in one way or the other, that is not godly. So these descriptions are not meant so that we'll go around pointing out all the demons that we meet. You understand? It's not productive for preaching.
Okay.
Otherwise, people will pick up on that attitude when you approach them in the street and say, hi, Mr. Demon. How are you doing? Would you like to take this book? You demoniac creature from hell. I mean, anyway, you have to be very careful. So that's why I'm cautioning everybody not to see like that. We should see everybody as a prospective devotee or as a devotee. It's just they have these qualities that are not so desirable.
One more question, Guru Maharaj.
Yes, please.
One of the class I had that, Ravana was not born on earth. He was born in Rakshasa planet, then he came down and conquered Sri Lanka and
where did you read that?
I had, because, one of the class, I had in this class, so in the Gita class.
Where's the Shastric reference for that? I read the Ramayana, and it doesn't really describe where Ravana was born. In the Valmiki Ramayana.
Oh, okay.
So I don't really know.
Oh, okay then. Then that is fine.
Yeah. I don't know.
That is fine.
Yeah, wherever Ravana was born, it's a place of pilgrimage.
That's a little bit of
Yeah, Ravana was not born in Lanka. Actually, he took over Lanka. His brother, Kuvera, was in charge of Lanka. And Ravana attacked Lanka, and he took over Lanka. And he also took over the Pushpaka Vimana, which Kuvera, his brother, the treasurer of the demigods, had. Okay? Who else has a question?
Yeah.
Question, comment?
Please accept Veda.
So my blessings. I mean Raja Leela, sorry. I wish you could change your name. Yeah.
It's confusing.
Okay.
So I have like a slew of questions about like the women's section in this class.
Yeah.
I guess like I'm a little like unsatisfied with just like the explanation that Prabhupada thought we should protect women. I see how that's in there for sure. I see like where that's shown, but I'm also confused like on the parts where it says like women shouldn't be given freedom, the same freedom as men. And then I begin to wonder like it says women it imposes the expectation that women have to get married because that's how the only way they're going to be protected is like if they have they have a father, husband, and then a son. And like I was wondering like how different ashrams would work for women who don't feel like that's their they don't feel like they should get married. Right. That's not their ashram.
Prabhupada actually said that we should make arrangement for ladies who don't want to get married. And this is one of Prabhupada's conversations. He made reference to the Catholic Church. Of course, we don't want to have nunneries. That would be. People who are Catholic and went through a Catholic school always have this memory of some like heavy Catholic teacher who like torture them to death when they were kids. I mean, here there's a common thing. So, but Prabhupada said, yes, there should be some arrangement. And practically, he dealt with several disciples. Two of them were Jamuna and Dinatarini, who we encouraged to open up their own center and farm. I think it was in Oregon somewhere that they did that. And so Prabhupada was very practical, and in his own dealings, I mean, sometimes he's presenting, let's say, something that's, you know, maybe for another time and place and circumstance in the books. And but in his own practical dealings, he had women set up programs, he had women go places and basically open up temples and do different things like that. So I would say the Prabhupada's not really advocating not to give women freedom. But you know, just looking at Prabhupada as a whole, like what he did, not only the words in the Gita, but what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada is basically advocating that it's the men's responsibility, and perhaps other women, to protect women from getting exploited.
Is that... I kind of had two other thoughts on that.
I mean, that's my opinion. Not that... I mean, you can see that certainly I don't, and Prabhupada didn't treat women just like children.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one time you had said that Prabhupada was talking about other, like, women outside of the movement. Or no, it was in that Vaishnavi administry, the
Yeah, the Vaishnavi administry.
It was that they were talking about other women, like women that weren't Vaishnavas, that they are the ones that he's talking about when he's saying that women are all these negative things.
I can't say that what Prabhupada was talking about in that regard. All I can say is that Prabhupada, the way he acted, which, you know, speaks very loudly in terms of understanding his words, that Prabhupada did allow women the scope to do anything that they wanted, particularly service, deity worship, preaching, practically anything the men did, Prabhupada would have the women engaged in. But Prabhupada did want the ladies to be protected. And I'm seeing that the men, like I said, that's because the men are unscrupulous. And I, you know, I see this all the time, that men, they're just, I mean, look, I mean, I want to mention our president of the United States again for the upteenth time. That generally the male psychology is to victimize women. And they don't have, and Prabhupada always would give the example that a man would make a woman pregnant, and the woman would go, man would go away, and the woman would be left taking care of the kid. And don't we see that very often? So the man can act very irresponsibly, but the woman has to stay and take care of the kids. You know, that shows the problem with the male psychology. So I mean, my understanding is that we examine Prabhupada's actions and understand his words through his actions. And don't take his words out of context. Like, you know, you can do that. And of course, people may get discouraged if they take these words out of context. You know, particularly, you know, if I go around to the university and quote that particular statement of Prabhupada, I'll probably get, probably the ladies will kill me. probably I will not escape with my life if I just let's say if I were to put those words on a poster and go around NC State, the university, I'd be in big trouble. So really have to understand words like that in context, and also to a certain extent it reflects Prabhupada's cultural upbringing too. That's part of hermeneutics, that sometimes Prabhupada will be making statements that reflect more of his cultural upbringing than what's there in the Shastra. So Prabhupada, you know, anyway, so it's not really always absolute, everything that Prabhupada says. One has to understand that based upon this principle of hermeneutics, which means understanding Shastra. So, yeah, it's a touchy issue.
Yeah, but it seems that women were expected, had the same level of expectations for advancing as men.
Yeah, of course.
Just that maybe like the system doesn't have the same like levels, like specifically, what am I trying to say? Yeah, like sannyas and things like that, and women being initiating gurus. It's just not in the
in the Vedic system there were women initiating gurus.
Mm-hmm.
There's many examples of women who are initiating gurus, and this is not something that's new. It was actually there for hundreds or if not thousands of years. Women who were initiating gurus. I mean, so many. I mean, I have papers that were written by our Shastric Advisory Committee that detail this, you know, the history and how many women were initiating gurus. So there is definitely equality, and at the same time, there's the stress on protection. So.
Thank you. Long question.
It's a long question, but something that I expected. From reading that purport. But, I mean, you see how I deal with the devotees, both males and females. Everybody's given equal opportunity in Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, touchy issue. Okay. Whoops. Can everybody hear me? Oh, yeah. Any other questions? Non-controversial?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Send my blessings.
Gurudev, can I ask follow-up question on Raja Leela's question?
Yeah.
Now, Gurudev, as you mentioned that males are unscrupulous, but then they have to take protection from the same men.
Protection from unscrupulous men? What is your question?
No, I mean, men are usually unscrupulous, hence woman needs protection.
Yeah.
So they need protection from devotees.
From devotees? Well, protection from devotees? Wait a second, this is getting a little interesting. They need protection from unscrupulous men, some of whom may be dressed as devotees. Yes.
So then, how do we decide for women to get married, and then have protection? And
I mean, that's up to the women to decide to get married.
So, women can stay alone, and ISKCON should provide. You mentioned that.
Not necessarily ISKCON. We all need, men and women need a society to protect us. We need devotional association. I'm not staying alone. I'm not the traditional sannyasi who goes to the forest and just by myself. I'm, you know, in the association of devotees. So both men and women need to be in the association of devotees to protect them.
Okay. So if woman decides to stay unmarried, that is acceptable?
Yes. I mean, why should people be forced?
Okay.
I mean, they're forced, and then they'll be unhappy, and then the marriage may break up. I mean, I've seen so many people forced to get married, and then it's just a disaster. But in any case, everyone, both men and women, should put themselves in a situation where they are protected by association with others. I don't think any of us can say that we can be an associate without association, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, if a woman decides not to get married, it's not, what do? You can't just force her. You're not going to force a man to get married either.
Yeah.
But the whole point is that men and women want to be together. They should get married and stay married.
Yes.
You know, that's the point. That's the protection, that men and women should stay married if they're married. And if they're not married, that's their choice.
Yes.
That's their choice to get married. Not. I don't force ladies to get married. I don't say, here's your husband. You better accept him. Even though he's ugly as hell, you better accept him and get married to him, you know. You know, I may make some suggestions, you know, and a person can say no. That's all. Yeah. Both men and women. Men can remain unmarried, women can remain unmarried. Prabhupada one time said, men are good, women are good, combination's bad. He was joking, of course. So anyway, these things, the point is, whatever is best for someone's Krishna consciousness, that's the main thing. Whatever is best for someone being Krishna conscious. But we want both men and women to be protected. And Kali Yuga, I've seen that men basically are just as vulnerable to exploitation or bewilderment as women. So they need protection too. You know, it's just like, and in many cases, a man and a woman get married and the woman is protecting the man. And it's a fact that in most cases of marital infidelity, it's the man's fault, not the woman's fault.
Yes.
You know, that's a statistic, a bona fide statistic. So we don't want to discriminate against anyone according to gender or race or national origin or anything like that. Everyone gets equal opportunity. And everyone should be examined as an individual person to see and let them make the decision with advice, with facilitation as to what's best in their spiritual lives, but not to force people into a situation.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Gurudev. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Any other questions that are non-controversial points?
Hare Krishna. I obey.
Dharna, how are you doing? All right.
I just want to. So and so, I'm on vacation trying to be better. So, when the morning, but it's very hard on national television, it's very full of pressure. And I feel this mentality. But when I came to the vacation, you know, something strange is happening here in this house, because we have one family and we are separated in these floors.
Mm.
And I'll show you what 10, 15 days and then just putting me when I came, you know, you see people who are, you know, no matter who is he, but he has face very angry. And this is the three pistols in me. So how to manage, what to think in one minute, I think, oh, Krishna, what to do? I don't have protection. I don't have husband. I don't have son. I don't have any protection.
You have the holy names. You have the holy names. They give you protection. Holy names, you have the association of devotees on the internet. This is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, the men are so weak, the men need more protection than the women. I mean, the whole thing is so mixed up in Kali Yuga. As the statement goes, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everybody is Shudra by mentality. Only Samskara Bhavet Vijam. Only by the proper association can anyone, man or woman, rise to a higher platform. We are all of low birth in Kali Yuga. And we all need the association of devotees. We need the association of the holy names. We need the association of Prabhupada. So don't worry about the three people with guns. Get yourself a gun.
I'm on the island Hvare on Croatia. And I went to see the devotees in Split. Split is very nice with the devotees. And I went three times yesterday also. So I'm trying to be in connection with the devotees somehow or another. But these pictures are in my kitchen. And whenever I eat, I say, oh, no, not anymore. And I put them down. So it is too much, you know. It's around me all the time. So because of the house, only because of the house, they want this house, and I am an enemy. I'm not an enemy, but it seems like that.
It's hard. So take shelter of Krishna's names. Krishna's names will always protect you. I guarantee.
Thank you.
All right. On that happy note.
I had a comment to make.
Oh, yeah. You're on mute again. You're on mute. Okay.
I'm trying to unmute it.
It's unmuted now.
Okay. Well, I wanted to make a comment. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So I thought to make a comment because the topic a lot is speaking about women and the protection of women. So I think sometimes it's actually helpful if women speak with other women who have been through different experiences within their life. So myself, by the arrangement of Krishna, I was put in this situation at the age of, as you know, because you were there, at the age of 28, of having to take shelter of Guru and Krishna. The same time, I realized that my situation was unique. Not everybody has the same nature. So whether one is married or one is not married, one has to be introspective and understand their nature, and also be able to, as Prabhupada said, understand how we can be strong, like the story of Gajendra and the elephant. So that's where it's really important for other women to really trust other women and to hear about their experiences and to be open to taking guidance. My experience, because I did manage the temple under your guidance, which I'd like to say for those of you that don't know Bir Krishmaj that many years, he always was an equal opportunist, and I was always giving complete opportunity to be able to engage in Krishna's service according to my nature. At the same time, I was given protection. Gopal's laughing, I could see him. I was given shelter and given protection. So there was that balance between being able to do the things that you could do for Krishna, and at the same time having to be humble and take guidance and take protection. So it's just something that actually I feel something that I could share with others, and I'm always happy to share with others how to navigate on this journey if one is in a woman's body. So I just wanted to share that, and I wanted to thank you, Gurudev, for engaging me for so many years and always keeping a very good perspective on these topics. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
See, I did something right. I'm not one of these ogres. So, at least someone does it. Someone thinks so. Anyway, yeah, so the main thing, like with Krishna Priya, she did everything. She was in charge of the temple, in charge of everything here. And I was traveling. It's not that I was the big boss. But I was traveling most of the time, which I'd like to get back to traveling. And we have also a lady who's a temple president here now in North Carolina. I'd like to travel too, because when I stay in one place, I become an ogre. So it's time for me to travel again. Anyway, so we see by practical experience, you know, that I personally engage people according to their nature, what they like to do, what they're capable of. And Prabhupada expected us all, men and women, to do miracles. You know, like Rajalilu, I was talking to, we were talking about opening up a temple in Cornell when she goes to graduate school. Right? Cornell graduate school. And, you know, the sky's the limit. There's so many spirit souls out there. We have to save the world. And, you know, as soon as when we start talking about this whole problem, men, women, this and that, we're actually losing our perspective that, you know, the whole world is on fire. And, you know, we have to save everybody. You know, just like if someone is in a burning house and whether you're a man or a woman, you should go and save them. Imagine, you know, somebody's in the burning house and you can save them and you're a lady. You say, you know, I'm a lady. I'm not supposed to do that. It's pretty stupid. Everyone has their duty. Yari Degatari Kara Krishna Padesh, Marigari Guru Hoi Tore Desh. Anyway, time for me to end. It's been an interesting class. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Same time, same station. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.